When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I knew nothing about menopause. And at the time, I'd been in the industry for about 17 years. And I thought, wait a second, if I don't know anything about this phase of life, I'm guessing that a lot of other women don't either. And it was my job. Like, I was a nutritionist. I had worked with hundreds and hundreds of brands at the time. And I prided myself on knowing my body really, really well and listening to my body. But I really came at it with zero knowledge. And I just thought, I need to do something about this. I need to talk more about it. My mom never talked to me about it. I never learned about it in school. And I wanted to make it my mission to help other women understand what was happening to their body so that they could take control of their symptoms and they didn't have to go into it without any knowledge the way I did. And that's what I've been doing for the last 6.5 or 7 years.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human. Hello, humans. I'm your host, Dr. Yami, and I am so honored to be here with you today. Thank you for subscribing, reviewing, and sharing these episodes. It helps us grow and spread this powerful information. To be human means to experience the changes that come along with being in a human body, including a shift in hormones as we transition into menopause. Our guest today is incredibly passionate about this topic and helping validate our symptoms as we transition into menopause. Known as the menopause educator and researcher to her 335,000 TikTok followers, Andrea Donsky is a nutritionist on a mission to change the conversation around perimenopause and menopause. An entrepreneur with 24 years of experience in the health and wellness industry, Andrea is a respected multiple award-winning influencer, media personality, speaker, and author. Andrea hosts the podcast Menopause Reimagined and appears as a menopause expert on televisions across North America. Her latest venture, Morphus, which signifies metamorphosis plus us as a community, helps women to reimagine menopause as a journey of empowerment so they feel heard, supported, and validated. Morphus empowers women to take control of their symptoms and health with nutrition, lifestyle research, and science-backed supplements. Learn more at wearemorphus.com. And this episode is airing in October, which is menopause month, so it's very appropriate. In this episode, we talk about Andrea's perimenopause and menopause journey and some of the symptoms that she experienced and how she found out that she was, in fact, in perimenopause. She talks about why she's so passionate about educating others about menopause. We talk about her research. We talk about the top symptoms. In fact, she shares with us, based upon her research, what the top 20 symptoms are of perimenopause and menopause. And then we talk a lot about sleep, why it's affected, and how we can optimize it. We talk about her top 3 recommendations for supplements that might help on the perimenopause, menopause journey, as well as a couple of others that might be helpful. So it's a really good episode. I know we've had a few episodes now where we talk about the subject, but there's new information different nuggets of wisdom that you can take from this episode as well. We don't focus as much on diet and lifestyle because that has been something that we've talked about in other episodes, but focus more on symptoms, sleep, supplements. So I think that you'll really enjoy this episode. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for being here with us today. And now let's welcome Andrea Donsky. The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional. Andrea Donsky, welcome to I Am Human. It's such a pleasure to have you and to get to know you a little today.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's great to meet you.
Well, let's start with your own story about perimenopause and menopause so that we can set the background of how you got to where you are today.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I have been in the health and wellness industry for 25 years. It'll be 25 years next year. And at the time, so I was 47 and I was in my office, I was working, and I got my first hot flash. And at the time I was like, wait a minute, what's happening to me? Am I in menopause? I knew nothing about perimenopause. I didn't even know the word perimenopause existed. I knew nothing about menopause. And at the time I'd been in the industry for about 17 years. And I thought, wait a second, if I don't know anything about this phase of life, I'm guessing that a lot of other women don't either. And it was my job. Like, I was a nutritionist. I had worked with hundreds and hundreds of brands at the time. And I prided myself on knowing my body really, really well and listening to my body. But I really came at it with zero knowledge. And I just thought, I need to do something about this. I need to talk more about it. My mom never talked to me about it. I never learned about it in school. And I wanted to make it my mission to help other women understand what was happening to their body so that they could take control of their symptoms and they didn't have to go into it without any knowledge the way I did. And that's what I've been doing for the last 6.5 or 7 years.
So at that point, when you were 47, you had your hot flash. In retrospect, were you able to look back and see other symptoms that you thought were due to other things that might have already been starting, or was that literally your first symptom?
Okay, so that's a great question. So I now know, looking back, so I'm in the middle of writing a book. It comes out in 2026. And in doing the research for my book, I'm like, So now I realize I was in perimenopause for a total of 14 years, 11 of which I had no idea. So that is a very long period of time. So I had my third baby at 41. And I used to say, okay, so I had my baby at 41. And then I immediately went into perimenopause or started perimenopausal symptoms. But when I look back, I now realize I started perimenopause at 36, somewhere around 35, 36. And one of my first symptoms were phantom smells. And phantom smells are when you smell things that other people don't. I would be sitting in my office and I would ask everyone around me, who's smoking? Are you smoking? How come I smell smoke? How come I smell burnt toast? Gasoline? Is there something going on? Is there gas in the house? So that was, now I realized that was a very major perimenopause symptom. But I did go to the doctor. I went to several doctors. I had several tests. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. And now looking back, it's like, yeah, that was a perimenopause symptom. I had sleep issues. I had rage issues. I gained a ton of weight. I mean, I was a classic, like literally classic symptoms of perimenopause when you think about what they are. My anxiety got worse. I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's really what led me to do the research that I'm doing for perimenopause and menopause, because I was at a party many years ago and I was talking to a friend and she was telling me that she was working on an app for menopause. And when she said that, I was kind of dumbfounded. I'm like, wait a minute, an app for menopause? Like, are there actually that many symptoms that you would have an entire app that would be dedicated to menopause symptoms and everything of the like? And she's like, oh yeah. There's like 35 to 40 symptoms. And I'm like, that's a lot. Wow. 35 to 40 symptoms. And I have a very analytical brain. So I came home, I started tracking symptoms, and that led me down the rabbit hole of really realizing that there are way more than 35 to 40. Like, I'm actually trying to find the statistic in writing my book as to where the 34 recognized symptoms of menopause came from, because I cannot find the statistic of where that originated from. There are now, we know according to my research, that there are 103 plus symptoms. So way more than that 34 to 40 that is kind of, I guess, is the most well-known.
I think what's interesting about your story is that you had your third child at 41. So probably intellectually you were thinking there's no way I could be in perimenopause because I still have fertility, which is a common myth, right? People think that, you know, they're going down this journey. Oh, well, I can't get pregnant anymore. My hormones are dropping, but you know, otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. And now, yes, I realized that I got pregnant when I was in perimenopause. And interestingly enough, and I know, and I say this with so much gratitude, that I never really had issues. I had issues getting pregnant, but I didn't have any issues once I was pregnant. And with my third, I had like a subchorionic hematoma. I was on bed rest for the majority of like my first trimester with my third. I had had a miscarriage before getting pregnant again. So I had had a lot of issues with my third pregnancy. And now I'm thinking, well, maybe was it because, yeah, sure, I was a little bit older for sure, you know, considered the geriatric pregnancy because I was 40, but I had a lot more issues. And could it be because I was in perimenopause at the time? But I didn't know, and my doctor didn't know, and nobody, it was never brought up as an, even as being a possibility. So yeah, that's a great point.
So I also started having symptoms in my mid 30s. I just turned 45 on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
I am pretty sure my first, well, the first recognizable symptoms, because it was uncomfortable enough for me, was brain fog. And I thought I was having early onset Alzheimer's. I kept telling my husband, I was like, I think I need to go to a neurologist. Some days I just can't think of certain words. They're just not coming to me. And I started paying attention. I realized that it was worse right before my period when everything was just dipping down really low. And now I realized that's when I started with, and things just slowly started to accumulate more and more things. I definitely have the smell thing. Like I can smell everything all the time. Everything annoys me. Well, that's one of the reasons I don't like going to Airbnbs, because as soon as I walk in, everything stinks to me. Like everything smells bad. I remember my grandmother doing that too. It was a joke. Like she would walk into a place and think that everything smelled like poop. And now I wonder if that was one of her symptoms, because that was a joke. We're like, nothing smells good to you, Mamaita. So funny. I could see how these things, like you don't, like it's just not obvious that it would be related to your hormones, because it's just so weird, right?
Yeah, so weird. And so many like symptoms that were like, that's a symptom of menopause or perimenopause. That's such an odd thing. So there are so many less known and less common symptoms. Like for example, you know, itchy ears. That's something that a lot of people don't make the connection. And I have on social media, and I'll post videos around the symptoms and around the research that I'm doing. And it's always like, itchy ears are a symptom of perimenopause. Now, it could be a symptom of many different things. So my whole mantra is always go see your doctor. You know, you want to make sure you want to rule things out that, you know, at the end, if when your doctor comes back and says, we don't even know what's going on, or the typical, there's nothing wrong. So we say, okay, it could be a symptom of perimenopause or menopause. But like itchy ears is a big one. BO in one or both armpits is a big one. Tinnitus, vertigo, you know, impending doom. A lot of women have a lot of, you know, mental health symptoms, right? Like out of the top 10 most common symptoms, which I'm happy to share with you, according to our research, like 50% of them are actually cognitive related and mental health related. And that's not something that a lot of us talk about, right? So other ones are like internal tremors, chills, cold flashes, runny nose. I mean, these are all symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, but not as well known as the typical hot flashes are. And the interesting thing about hot flashes is that, you know, if I would say to you, okay, what's the first symptom that comes to mind when you think of menopausal symptoms? You know, most people will say, oh, hot flashes, but it's actually not even in the top five, according to our research, which I find really interesting. So it's about educating women, educating people about understanding that there are so many symptoms. So if you're not feeling well and you're going to a doctor or your healthcare provider to get checked out, please, you know, bring it up to your doctor or healthcare provider. Say, could it be possible? I'm over the age of 35. Could this be related to perimenopause and menopause? And then go from there. And we've done very interesting research around doctor visits that I'm happy to share as well as to what women are experiencing when they are sharing their symptoms.
Yeah, because I mean, you're saying that, and I'm a physician as well, but just like you're saying, like hot flashes, yeah, they're recognized. There's even treatments for them. But honestly, yes, it's annoying, but it's not as devastating as having depression and anxiety, you know, which I think a lot of doctors may not realize can be due to those hormonal changes. Like I've always been susceptible to depression my whole life, but last year, it was like unexplainable, depression. Like it had related to nothing and just like really bad, like the world sucks. There's no point in being here sort of depression. And then that I realized that that was due to my hormones too. But I think that a lot of physicians don't actually put the two together. So I think sometimes it can be hard. And then to find the right help for it can be difficult.
You know, and you bring up a good point. And we did research around stress and anxiety and depression. And what we found is that 66% of women in this phase of life say that they have worse stress and anxiety than they did before they got here. So it's a major thing. And I'm very excited because we have 4 abstracts that are going to be published in a medical journal in September. And our anxiety and stress, our survey is actually one of them. So this is a very near and dear topic to me because I have experienced depression. I have experienced massive anxiety where I couldn't get out of bed for 2 months. And this was a couple of years ago. So it is such a serious issue. And it could be due to several different things. Like for example, Hashimoto's, like I found out I had Hashimoto's and it was connected to my thyroid. So that's why I'm such an advocate of and a proponent of telling women when you don't feel like yourself or you feel like things are changing, please go get tested. Get blood tests done, speak to your physician, speak to your primary healthcare provider and get certain tests done to see what it could be. Because maybe it's something that's going on physiologically with you, right? So it's one of those things that I can't stress enough that yes, we need to pay more attention to it. And the majority of us are experiencing these symptoms as we go into this phase of life. So it's thank you for bringing that up. It's so important.
Why don't you think we are more educated and familiar with these symptoms? Why don't we talk about it more?
I mean, I do feel that there was a stigma that, you know, when I look at my mom, I look at my grandmother, there's a stigma that was associated with menopause. I mean, growing up, my mother had the worst hot flashes and she had them for years and years and years. All I would know is she has hot flashes and it was menopause. She had a hysterectomy when she was 50, but she never sat me down and had a conversation about it. It just wasn't discussed. The way I do it now in my family, I mean, I have my son is 21, my daughter's 19, and I have another daughter who's 13. We talk about menopause incessantly, like to the point where it's a bit of a joke, right? If I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so cold. They're like, how are you cold? You're in menopause. You can't be cold. You know, like it becomes a joke, right? Which is, I like that because it's been normalized in our home. And I just didn't grow up with it. And so many of us Gen Xers didn't grow up with it. Baby boomers, they didn't grow up with it, right? Like my mom would tell me stories about my grandmother and she would be super embarrassed about symptoms. So, and my mother told me that the only person she ever spoke to about her symptoms was her doctor, but she was dismissed. So like, it's just not something, there was the stigma. It's not something that was discussed openly, but I like to say that as Gen Xers, we're not going into menopause quietly. We are screaming it from the rooftops. We are changing the narrative. We are, you know, helping to reduce that stigma and hopefully it'll be gone by the next generation. And we are comfortable speaking about it more, right? And we don't learn about it in school. It's not in the curriculum. I remember a couple of years ago, I was looking at my daughter's curriculum when she was in grade 5 and they touch upon puberty, but nowhere is it mentioned about menopause. And one of the women on my social media pages was like, well, we shouldn't talk about menopause when we're little because, you know, the kids are so far removed from it. And my argument was, I think they do need to understand it's their body, right? Especially in high school. We need to be having that conversation, not only for the kids who are in school to understand what they potentially will be going through, 50% of them, but also everyone can understand their mothers, their aunts, their grandmothers, right? Because so many of us are, you know, you're making fun of the fact that, oh, my mom is always in a bad mood. My mom's always yelling at me, or how come she's always, you know, feeling sad or whatever it is. They'll be able to understand what their mom is going through much better when we actually put a vocabulary behind it. We need to have the vocabulary and normalize it so that we can all feel more comfortable about it, right? I don't know, Dr. Yami, but you've probably interviewed people as well who've told stories about being in a boardroom at work full of men who, you know, you all of a sudden, it's happened to my friend, all of a sudden broke out in this crazy hot flash and, you know, everybody's looking at her. Nobody knows what to say because they're embarrassed for her. She was mortified and she ended up passing out on the floor in the boardroom. And it was just like, yeah. So we just have to have more conversation around it. And so everybody understands what we're going through.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So I have 2 sons. My oldest is 19 and my youngest is 14. And they know everything that's going on because I want them to also grow up with that sensitivity of being able to at least just be a supportive listener to somebody going through it. Like maybe they can't do anything themselves about it or change anything, but they at least understand that it is a normal physiologic change that women go through. And I will say, because there are some days that I just feel really cranky, you know, and I know it's my hormones. I'm like, guys, I'm just irritable today. So if I have a certain look on my face, you know, when you just have that look on your face where it's just like, everything's getting on my nerves, they know it's not them. You know, I'm just like, it's my hormones. Just bear with me today. I'm feeling kind of cranky. And so at least that takes the pressure so they know that they're not the ones making me mad. But
I like that.
Okay. Let's go back and talk more about your research. When did you start doing research in this area and why?
So I wanted to do research in the area because first of all, I love marketing research. And if I was better at math and I was better at physics and chemistry, I would have gone down the route of becoming a physician like yourself, because I'm just so fascinated with biology and I just love health and wellness. It's just a passion of mine and I love data. And so I was like, you know what? I was learning and hearing when I started social media in 2021. Sorry, I've been on social media for many, many years on Meta and Facebook and Instagram, but I wasn't on TikTok. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try TikTok. This was during the pandemic. I'm like, I'm going to try it. It was 2021, just talking about menopause. I'm like, let's see how that goes. And it just blew up on TikTok in a really good way. And I found my community in the sense of women were sharing what they were going through. And it was through the comments or the DMs that I would get. So many DMs from women. And these were like heartbreaking in so many cases because so many women were suffering and didn't have answers or were being gaslit or dismissed. So I thought, this is interesting because A, it's allowing me to really understand what women are going through in this phase of life. And I was going through it myself. I was in menopause at the time. So I was like, okay, it's not just me. This is a lot. There are thousands and thousands of women who are going through this at the same time. So I thought, well, let me take that information and that knowledge and put it into surveys. So we created surveys. Our first one was our signs and symptoms survey. And it was very important for me, like I mentioned earlier, to really understand how many symptoms there were. And the reason why to quantify it was so important for me was because of the gaslighting, because of the dismissal. So for example, if someone was like, oh, if it was outside of the 34, going back to the recognized symptoms, like for example, cold flashes or BO in one or both armpits, I didn't want women to feel like it wasn't a symptom of perimenopause and menopause. So understanding how many of those symptoms are, I feel validates women in what they're feeling and in how they're feeling. So we created our first survey, I think it was in 2021, and it was called Signs and Symptoms. And we now have almost 5,000 responses. I mean, this is just, it is so exciting for me because almost, I think we're at 4,600 women right now. So we're 400 away. So for those of you listening, I would love you to fill it out because what we're going to do is reanalyze the data. We analyze it when we're at 2,500 to 3,000, and then we're going to reanalyze the data. And then from there, we went to look at sleep issues because we know that according to our signs and symptoms survey, we know that sleep issues is the number three most common symptom of perimenopause and menopause. And this is across, by the way, both perimenopausal and menopausal women. So I was like, okay, I had major sleep issues, but why aren't women sleeping in this phase of life? So we did a survey on that has over 3,000 responses. And then we looked into so many other things like women in the workplace, libido, doctor visits, our stress and anxiety, like I mentioned, and the list goes on. So we now have 10 of them. And the great news, and which is very exciting for me, is, as I mentioned before, is four of those surveys are going to be published now in a medical journal. So it's, to me, it's so validating that this research now, instead of that 34 recognized, we now know there's 103 recognized symptoms. So that's extremely exciting for me. So that's the why and also the what that we're doing in terms of the research.
So what is the number one top symptom that you have seen from your surveys?
Okay, so I printed it out just so I could read it to you because I actually printed out the top 20 because I was listening to your other podcast. So I was like, okay, so your brain fog. I knew you had brain fog. I knew that was your number one symptom because I listened to one of your other podcasts on it. So the number one symptom across the board, this is, you know, like this is really 72% of women are experiencing it, is fatigue, exhaustion. So, and I hear it over and over again. And there's a lot of different reasons for fatigue, right? Going back to getting your thyroid checked, your vitamin D levels, your ferritin, and your B12, like going to check. So those are just, you know, some of the reasons, but there's so many different reasons. Number two is brain fog, 66% of women. So you have your symptom is the second most common symptom. Very. So number three is sleep issues. Like I said, with 65% of the women experiencing sleep issues, then memory loss, 64%, anxiety. That's almost 60%. So 59% of women, loss of libido. And this is based on the newest responses. So the over 4,600, like this 4,600 responses. And it changes all the time, right? Because it's citizens research. So it's always evolving. So loss of libido is number six. Number seven is joint pain. 58.3% of the women experience joint pain. Number eight is lack of concentration. Number nine is lack of focus. And number 10 is hot flashes. And if you think back, so again, like we talked about earlier, hot flashes is the most synonymous with it. That's what when I got my first hot flash, I'm like, oh, I'm in menopause, right? But it's actually the 10th most common, according to, this is almost, you know, 5,000 women who have shared their experiences. And then it goes from there to like lack of patience, night sweats, slower metabolism, weight gain is a big one, changes in body shape, digestive problems, dry, itchy skin, itchy ears, lack or low self-esteem, pain, and then headaches or migraines. So those are the top 20.
Yeah, I've had every single one of those symptoms, but actually hot flashes, I rarely get.
Oh, you're so
bad. But I'm just thinking about all those symptoms, Andrea, and I'm thinking, I feel bad for our male partners because they have a tired, cranky woman who doesn't want to have sex. It's like... Oh my goodness, that's not a good combo.
That is not a good combo. And we're laughing, but and I know it's not a funny thing, but it's so true. And you know, it's interesting, Dr. Yami. I got a call from one of the women, like a woman who's suffering. Her husband, her partner called me the other day and he was saying, you know, how can you help my wife, because she is experiencing weight gain, bloating, and a loss of interest in sex, right? Her libido. So yeah, I mean, it's difficult for everyone, for us and our partners.
And I've experienced that with fatigue, but you know, I'm a physician. I work really hard. So I've always kind of chalked it up to, you know, I'm an overachiever, but it's the kind of fatigue where you feel like you got hit by a bus kind of fatigue. Like you are on your back, can't move, don't want to do anything kind of fatigue. Like it's just not normal fatigue, you know? Because when you start realizing that this isn't right, it's not right for me to feel this tired all the time when I'm taking such good care of myself.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And truthfully, this is my, you know, well, truthfully, what I really would love is that we live in a world where we don't have to suffer with symptoms. And the nice thing about today, 2024 and beyond, is that we're able to help women with so many different tools in our toolbox. So we've got, so my lane, I stick to my lane. I'm not a physician. I'm not, you know, a doctor. My lane as a nutritionist is, and a menopause educator and researcher, is nutrition, lifestyle, and supplements. And that's what I talk about. And then I say, there's also the option of hormones. If that's what you choose to do, work with a doctor, somebody who understands hormones, right? Because everything has changed now with, in terms of hormone therapy. So there are many options and you could do all of it together. You could choose, you know, a couple. I really hope that whatever you do choose, that you're always looking at nutrition and lifestyle because that is the foundation. We need to exercise and movement. We need to make sure that we are managing our stress because it plays a massive role, as does nutrition, when we do get to this phase of life. So there are many options today. You don't have to suffer. And that's the good news, right? Where like when I look back at my mom who suffered for all those years, you know, we've come a long way.
All right, I have a couple of questions. One, do you think that women going through this phase need to cut back on the amount of things that they're doing? Because I just have this thing, like, I don't want anybody to tell me to do less than I want to do. But I just want to know your opinion now that I gave you my bias.
Okay, so when I was going through let's go before I was in perimenopause. I have total type A, triple A personality. I am a workhorse entrepreneur through and through. I mean, I was just literally like totally gung-ho, wanted to do a million things, and I'm a mom, and I'm a wife. Like it was just, I did everything and anything all together at once. And I was the great multitasker. Then when I went through perimenopause, I joke that I went from that triple A type A personality to an F-. I couldn't do anything, Literally, like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get out of bed some days. You know, being a mom, I was like, oh my God, I was probably looking back. I was probably did not do my best as a mom while I was going through it. My anxiety was through the roof. I would joke that I would wake up in a great mood and everyone else around me would piss me off within like the first half hour of being awake, right? Like these were things like, I was just like, what is happening to me? And then I learned that I couldn't do everything and I really had to take a step back. And I had to allow myself, because I am so driven and so motivated, I had to do a lot of internal work to allow myself to take that step back. I mean, I had my own business. I had a business partner. Like I had to be communicative, my partner at home, my kids, like I just couldn't do it all. I just had to come to the realization that I couldn't do it all. So I took a step back and only did what I could do. And I had to be gentle with myself. Self-preservation was the most important thing, because if I wasn't okay, then nobody around me was okay. And then once I went into menopause, I did get my mojo back, which it took a bit, but I got my mojo back. And now that I've been in menopause for about 4 years, my mojo is back. And I'm not back to my triple type A, but I'm probably back to type A. Like I feel like I've gotten a lot of myself back. However, caveat, I set boundaries now. I am much better at saying no. I'm much better also at knowing what I'm really good at and knowing what I'm not really good at. And the things that I'm not really good at, I don't do anymore. I'll ask either my partner or I'll ask other people to help me out, because you don't want me doing things that I'm not really good at, because they won't be done well. So I've just come to that realization that, you know, no, I can only do... So to answer your question in that roundabout way is that I say, do what feels good for you. If you feel that you need to take a step back from certain things, then do it. Focus on what you're amazing at. Focus on what you love. What are you passionate about? And then everything else I feel falls into place.
I love that perspective. I think that's also where we develop that wisdom, right? Like as we grow older and we realize that we do have to be more judicious about what we include in our lives. And I can't even imagine you having little kids during that time. Like my kids are older and they were already older by the time I started having symptoms. But if I had like a little, like a toddler, oh my
baby.
Gosh, yeah. I would not have done well with that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So how old were you when you officially hit your 12 months period-free menopause?
So I'm not sure yet. So that's a whole other story, but it's either 49 or 50. Like I was okay. Right there. And it was earlier than my other friends as well, because when I went into menopause, so I always had hormonal issues since I was little. I had PCOS. I never had a regular period. So when I went into transition from peri to menopause, I didn't have a period for a year. Went 13 months, got a period, and then cycle restarted. And then 12 months later, got another period, which I thought it was a period, went to get a checked out, it actually wasn't a period. It was vaginal dryness. So I don't know if that happened to me the first time as well. So it's 49 or 50. And it was earlier than my friends, or at least like from, you know, when I would ask around, I'd be like, are you experiencing this? Are you going through this? And everyone's like, no, no, no. It was like, nope, we don't want to touch the big M topic because, you know, again, it ages us, right? Like before I was turning 50, I was having massive, like starting probably from 47, massive anxiety around turning 50, coupled with the fact then you add on the whole like menopause thing. I was like, oh my God, I'm so irrelevant. I'm so old. You know, like what's happening? But now my mindset is totally different. Like now I was listening to a Oprah interview. This was probably just before I turned 50. And she was interviewing three women in their 60s. They were models. And she was saying, you know, they were talking about how aging can be difficult, which, by the way, absolutely can be difficult, the, you know, aging. And Oprah was like, I don't understand why people are afraid to tell their age or afraid to say how old they are, because I look at it as experience, right? So if I'm turning 50, I have 50 years of that incredible experience. And that interview changed the way I looked at everything. Literally after that, I was like telling everybody and anybody how old I was. So like I completely flipped my mindset and I'm so proud to be in my 50s. I love being in my 50s. It is such an awesome, empowering decade. And I'm loving it.
That's great to hear. And it's also great to hear that things settle down once you, you know, get there and readapt to everything. Before we talk about supplements, which I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that, let's talk a little bit about sleep. Why is sleep affected during menopause? And what are some of the things that we can do to optimize sleep?
Sure. So I'm a bit, I call myself a menopause sleep hacker because I'm obsessed. I wear a wearable. I'm just, you know, sleep is so important as we go into this phase of life. So we know it's the third most common symptom. So sleep issues are a massive issue for us. And more than it's like 66% of us are experiencing it. Yeah, 65% of us. So the way my brain works again is I was like, okay, but why are we not sleeping? We know it's hormonal related. We know it could be blood sugar related. We know it could be like stress, anxiety. We can be so many reasons as to why we're not sleeping. But I wanted to know what are the main reasons that are causing women in perimenopause and menopause not to sleep. So our sleep survey, this has 3,276 responses. So again, according to quite a few women, the number one reason we're not sleeping is because we're waking up between 2 and 4 a.m. And there's a lot of reasons as to why that could be. It could be stress and anxiety related because cortisol is rising at the wrong time. It could be blood sugar related. It could be, you know, aches and pain. It could be a lot of different reasons as to why we're waking up during that time. The second most common reason with 54% of women is bathroom visits. So I've had women tell me that they will wake up every hour on the hour to go to the bathroom. So if you're waking up more than once, if once is common, it is like, I don't like to use the word normal. I'm putting it in quotes just because, you know, it's not a word I love to use, but I'm just using it for the sense of understanding. So waking up once, yes, that's very common. More than that, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, that isn't common. And what happens for many of us as we go into menopause is that vasopressin, again, you're the doctor, Dr. Yami, but so you could probably add to this, but vasopressin, which is our antidiuretic hormone, starts to go down overnight. So that's another reason that many of us could be waking up. Again, it could be blood sugar related. Like everything is so interconnected, right? And then also we have issues with like our bladder and et cetera, et cetera. And then the third reason is night sweats. So about 49% of women are experiencing night sweats. I by the way, had all of them, you know, again, like probably you did too. And then other reasons like insomnia, light sleeping, snoring is a big one, whether it's yourself snoring or a partner, somebody that's in your room snoring, muscle spasms, restless legs, pain, uncomfortable mattresses and pillows, hot rooms, nightmares. And one thing that is extremely important that we talk about is sleep apnea, because it is something that unfortunately isn't spoken about a lot for women, especially women who are in menopause, but many women experience it and it is related to, you know, heart disease and stroke. So it's very important that it is addressed. If you are waking up exhausted and you have symptoms of it, please go speak to your doctor and get tested for sleep apnea. My mother, like high blood pressure, and I would love you to, you know, to chime in, Dr. Yami, but you know, these are things that we don't necessarily relate back to our sleep, to like, especially women of a certain age, but it's a really important symptom that please go speak to a doctor and get checked.
Yes. And since you asked me to chime in, I'll just reiterate here that the number one killer of women is also heart disease, just like men. And so we know that sleep apnea increases your risk and during this stage of transition with our hormones changing, increases our risk further for heart disease and things like that. So sleep apnea is a serious issue that we need to look into. It doesn't seem like a long-term thing. It seems more like, okay, I don't want to be tired, I don't want to snore, but really the long-term impacts are very important. So it is something that should be diagnosed and treated.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. So those would be the reason. And then how can we help ourselves get those better night's sleeps? Obviously addressing a lot of those issues. So I say, you know, really focus on relaxation because, you know, before bed, if we're waking up between 2 and 4 and it is due to cortisol rising at the wrong time, and we know that the anxiety and stress, you know, almost 50% of women are saying they're not sleeping because of it, their mind starts to race. So anything like deep breathing, meditation, listening to sound baths, taking, you know, just maybe doing some light yoga, stretches, something, inhaling essential oils that help you to relax, whatever helps you to relax, even if it's spending time with people you love, animals, whatever it is, just help yourself to kind of calm your nervous system before you go to sleep. Because if you're being woken up because of anxiety and stress, we need to address that. It's really important. And also, one tip that I love to share with our listeners is that in our community is, and this is something I feel it can be trained. So I would always wake up, especially in perimenopause, I would wake up for 2 hours at a time. Like I could not sleep. And then what would happen when I would wake up is my brain would start to go. So we wake up and all of a sudden we're thinking of our to-do list and the argument we had with a friend and maybe what we need to get done at work and what, you know, the appointments we have for our kids, whatever it is, our brain starts to go when we wake up in the middle of the night. So I have trained myself that when I do wake up, so if I wake up to go to the bathroom, I go right back to bed and I have this mantra. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Ho'oponopono. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So it's 4 sentences. I love it. It's a great book. You can look it up. Ho'oponopono. It's a Hawaiian treatment or healing, you know, modality. And it's 4 sentences that are, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. And when I wake up in the middle of the night and I say to myself, number one, if my mind starts to race, I'm like, nope, stop, not happening, because it'll only impair my sleep and I could stress about it in the morning. Like it's not going to do me any good to do it at night. And let me tell you, it's a practice. So you have to really hone in that practice and train that muscle, your brain, to not go there. But it is possible and I've been able to do it. So just repeating that mantra or whatever mantra, anything that helps to relax you, it doesn't matter what it is. Say it over and over and over again in your mind and literally tell yourself you are not going there. Like, nope, stopping it right now, not going there. So that's something that works really well for me. And then also other things like don't drink too close to bed, don't exercise too close to bed, don't eat a big meal too close to bed, because then your body's busy digesting as opposed to repairing. So these are all important things. Sleep in a quiet room, in a dark room. Insulin plays a big role when it comes to sleep. So if we're more prone to insulin resistance as we go into this phase of life. So try not to eat anything that's too processed or too high in processed sugar before bed, because that really can mess with your blood sugar levels, which can also cause you to go to the bathroom more, can cause you to wake up more. Sleep hygiene, that's really important. And always going to bed if you can around the same time and really make sleep a priority. I never made sleep a priority. And especially during the pandemic, I'd go to bed at like 2, 3. I'm watching movies, every Netflix show you can imagine. And now, like my kids know, and I try to really focus this on my kids as well, make sleep a priority. Because everything happens in sleep. You help to repair your body. You help to consolidate your memories. You need to clean out your brain. Like so many things. You grow. I have a 13-year-old still. I'm like, she grows when she sleeps. She plays. I'm an athlete. I'm like, you will perform better when you get more sleep, right? So all of it is interconnected. So those are some of my tips.
Yeah, that is so true. And it's very true in my household too. Everybody knows that I am a protector of the sleep and I am an enforcer of everybody else getting their sleep too, because I know that it's healthy for everybody. And you know, you were mentioning insulin and insulin resistance and all of that stuff. I found that for myself, I went through a phase where I was having a lot of night sweats, like horrible night sweats. Wow. I'd wake up completely soaked. And that's so uncomfortable. You're like all wet. You have to change. Your sheets are wet. You can't change that because your partner's sleeping. So it was horrible, very inconvenient. But I found that time-restricted eating helped me a lot, because when I was having too many calories, especially close to bed, my body was working on that, and it would just like shoot up my body temperature, and that would really increase my risk of getting night sweats. So I found that that really put an end to that for me. And then of course, on the times when, you know, I just had my birthday over the weekend, and so have bigger dinners, and I'm like, oh, yep, that reconfirms that this does it for me. It triggers the night sweat. So each person can also just start paying attention to the patterns in their lives and what can cause some of those sleep problems. But those are all great. All right, I want to give enough time to talk about supplements because it's not something that we've talked about at all on the podcast. So I'm just really curious because I'm sure there's like a bazillion. So let's just start with maybe the top ones that you think can be really helpful during this transition.
Sure. So I came from the food ingredient space. So I wrote a book called Unjunk Your Junk Food in 2011. And I looked at what are ingredients in the foods that we're eating that can either, you know, help to enhance how we feel or can actually harm how we feel. And when I went into, when I started Morphous, I was like, I'm going to take my experience from that and put that into supplements. Because my experience when I was, when I had so many of the 103 symptoms, I had already been, you know, amazing with my nutrition and trying my best. Listen, it is not easy to manage stress. So I'm going to give big shout out to everyone who's doing a good job of it. Like, congrats, because it is not easy. And we're less able to cope with it as we go into perimenopause and menopause. So I was doing the best I could with my nutrition and my lifestyle, and I wanted to add in the supplement part of it. So I did a lot of research on supplements because coming from the natural health space, I believe in supplements. I'm a nutritionist. I believe we need to, the core is always nutrition. Please, foundation for everything you do is nutrition and lifestyle. But I do believe we need to supplement just that, to supplement with supplements, because I believe it adds a lot. It really adds a lot of health benefits to what we're doing. So from the research that I did, I was able to help myself I was able to help manage my hot flashes and my night sweats and my insulin and all the different things that were creating issues for me. And digestive health was a big one. So I realized that women in perimenopause and menopause need a lot of extra support in certain areas. So we talked about sleep, we talked about digestion. So what are some things that we can help women with digestion? So that was our first product that we launched. It's FiberS. So it's a soluble fiber. So many of us, we know that we need at least, and it's a number that we try to follow, that 25 to 35 grams of fiber a day. We need fiber, and get it through your food, ladies. Like, get it through as much of your fruits, your vegetables, your legumes, your nuts and seeds, as much as you can, your complex carbohydrates, try to get it if you can, the 25 to 35 grams. But what we know from the research is most of us aren't even getting half that amount, right? So if you need to supplement, we have, like, I believe that we need a soluble fiber, a prebiotic soluble fiber, because some of us just need a little bit of help. So that's why we launched FiberS. And then I also believe that we need magnesium. And most of us are deficient in magnesium, but 80% of us are deficient in magnesium. And magnesium is important for hundreds of functions in our body. And they came up with a study last year for women in menopause that showed the tie between magnesium and cognitive decline, memory issues. And they were showing that women who had 550 plus milligrams of magnesium a day had less cognitive issues, less issues with memory. So magnesium, super important. Try again to get it from your food if you can, and you need that extra help. We have a magnesium. So, and here's the thing about magnesium, and everyone's like, what type of magnesium should I take? I like to keep things simple, just because, like you had said before, there's so many things that we, you know, that we should be taking or doing, and it becomes overwhelming. I say magnesium bisglycinate is great because it's kind of like this superpower, the superhero with the red cape of magnesiums, because it helps with so many different things, including sleep, including digestion, right? So it helps to go to the bathroom. It also helps to sleep better. So that's why I believe. So you've got your soluble fiber, you've got your magnesium. And then I'm a big believer in fish oil and omega-3s, because we get so many omega-6s from our diet that we have, omega-3s are very important. We want to get that ratio closer to that 1-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. So I recommend, from a nutrition standpoint, is to be mindful of things that are called seed oils. So like staying away from canola, soy, sunflower, corn, cottonseed, grape seed. These are oils that Dr. Kate Shanahan has really put on the map as creating inflammation in our body, but they're also very high in omega-6s. So trying to get those down or eliminating those, because that could wreak some havoc on your body if you're, you know, for many people. but also increasing your omega-3 intake. And you could do that through fish oil, like our omega-3 tea, or you can do that through chia seeds and flax seeds and other vegan sources as well. So I would say those are, I call them our foundation supplements. I truly believe that those are very beneficial, especially for women who are having dry skin, dry scalp, dry mouth, itchy ears, dry eyes, like meibomian gland dysfunction, which I had. My doctor was like, take omega-3 fish oil. I was like, oh, wow, that's so interesting. So we know that omega-3s can really help with hydration from the inside out, as well as like hair, skin, nails, et cetera, heart, et cetera. So those would be my three main foundation supplements. And then the rest, I would say, it really depends on what your needs are. Don't just take anything and everything for the sake of it. Like if you have hot flashes, you may want to try pycnogenol and or DIM. You know, if you have hot flashes or night sweats, you know, berberine. If you're having issues with insulin, you may want to try berberine. So there's different, you know, and it's all on my website. And we give a lot of like, we link to the research. Again, Dr. Yami, I'm all about the research and science-backed and efficacious dosages. And also going back to my experience from writing, you know, Unjunk Your Junk Food and my experience for, you know, 20 years is I'm all about ingredients. Like what are we putting in our body? What we did before may not serve us now, may not be so great for us now. So be discerning, you know, understand why you're taking certain things. Don't just take it because you heard about it on social media. Take it because you think your body needs it. Read up about it. Ask questions. I am available. If you have a question, I mean, of course, I'm not a doctor. I can't give advice, but I'm happy to answer questions or point you to in the direction of this, of research that shows that it could be beneficial for you. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, I think those all sound really reasonable. I personally supplement omega-3 and I'm vegan. So I do an algal oil omega-3. I recently had an expert on here saying that maybe there's reason not to, but I think the other piece of advice that could be helpful is don't start everything at once. Just do one thing at a time and give it a, you know, 2 to 4 weeks and see how it feels. See if you sense any differences. Because sometimes if you do the shotgun approach and do everything at once, you may not know what actually is helping. And then you end up with like 50 supplements and you're just like, I don't know what's making me feel better. I think that it can be, I'm a believer in things that can, things like that, just to optimize. Like if you're already got your nutrition and your lifestyle and you have optimized that as much as you're able to, I think it is reasonable to add some of these supplements because I think they can make a really big difference. So
and also,
thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, and also our digestion changes. So we don't absorb as much as we did before. Our food, unfortunately, lacks nutrients. So there are certain things that I do believe are beneficial. And one more that I forgot to mention that's really excellent for women in menopause is melatonin. So some women will say, and there was a doctor and he was saying, he coined the term melatonopause because we really aren't making our own melatonin, especially as we go into our 50s and beyond. So taking melatonin and for so many benefits, I mean, melatonin has incredible benefits, not only for sleep, but for other things as well, that can be helpful too, especially if you're having sleep issues. So that's why I put it in our Sleep Us product because it's, I believe, an important nutrient. So again, if you've had issues with melatonin before, you can always try a small amount because, you know, one of the things I really try to educate people on is about supplements because a lot of us have preconceived notions of certain things like, oh, I tried it before and it didn't work for me, so it's not going to work for me again. And things are always changing. So I encourage you always try things, but also what dosage did you take before? What brand did you take before? I mean, there's so many nuances that go into supplements that it's not so black and white. So I really love people to understand in terms of, you know, what are you taking? How are you taking it? And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer questions.
Well, let's move on to the wrap-up questions. It's been a fantastic conversation, but we have to move on sometime. So what do you wish more people knew?
Well, if I'm going to talk about perimenopause and menopause, I just wish more people knew about this phase of life and it's changing and it's coming. So that I wish more people knew about it and I wish more people knew that there are solutions to help them.
How do you define success in this lifetime?
When I was my younger self, you know, if I look back to my entrepreneurial self, I really defined it in terms of like financial success and work success. And I feel like my definition of it changes all the time. So it's not that one thing of like, oh, this is my only thing. I feel like it changes all the time. And now I feel that success really is, you know, if we have our health, it's so important. So health with success with our health and feeling good and being able to function to me is massive success because When I mentioned earlier, when I was in bed for those 2 months and I had massive depression and anxiety, success for me at that point was even being able to get out of bed and functioning. And I couldn't for many of the days. So if for success is having your health and being able to really succeed that way. That would be my definition right now. It's a different perspective as I age.
I agree. You know, health and well-being, it's like a pot of gold, you know, and it's what I feel the most grateful for in my life when I'm able to just feel good and move my body and do the things I want to do. The thing is, you can't pay for that, you know, like
you can't.
You could be a multi-bazillionaire. And if you haven't done the things to help yourself and you're not, you know, continuing the nutrition and the lifestyle, you can't pay for that, you know? So I think it's very invaluable asset to have.
I agree.
Is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you or something that you have left on your bucket list that you'd be willing to share with us?
More so, I'd say travel related. Like I really want to go and do a safari. I'd love to go to Australia, New Zealand. So I'd say yes, travel related. I still have a lot to do. And obviously, even like personally, a lot of goals that I really want to reach and even for work. So yeah, I'd say there's a lot left on my bucket list that I still want to. Yeah.
Well, you look like you have the energy now to do it. So
I do.
Believe you can.
I do.
What does it mean to be human?
For me, being human is being authentic, being real, being vulnerable, admitting to your mistakes, you know, not being shy or being afraid to take responsibility. I tell my kids that all the time, you know, take responsibility for your actions. Don't be afraid to say you messed up or you made a mistake. I feel that kindness is a big thing about being human. And I also feel like self-forgiveness because, you know, once I was very hard on myself for so many years. I mean, being that type AAA personality, you know, it was always about like getting to that next goal, reaching that next thing. And I would be very tough. I was harder on myself than anyone else around me. And one of the things that I really feel like I've embodied now, being in my 50s, is forgiving myself for things that I've done. So like even the other day, like I did something, I messed up something or whatever it was. I was like, okay, well, whatever. I said the wrong thing or I forget what the example was, but I'm like, I'm just going to be gentle with myself because it's not the end of the world. Oh, I called somebody by the wrong name. That's what I did. And I was like, and in the past I'd probably like be stressing about it. And it was a business situation. I'd be stressing about it forever. And I'm like, you know what? It happens. What are you going to do? What did I do? I said, I'm so sorry that I called you by this name. I take responsibility. And they're like, don't worry about it. It happens. And I just let it go. So just really learning to be forgiving of yourself and to show yourself kindness to yourself and to others, for me is a big one. Just to
I love
be human.
That. And when we are more gentle with ourselves, it makes us more understanding and kind to other people, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Because you know, I think we treat ourselves sometimes harsher than we do other people. So if we're better to ourselves, we're going to be even better to other people. So it just increases the joy all around, which is great.
I agree.
All right, Andrea, this has been fantastic. You are obviously very passionate and knowledgeable about this subject. So if you could please give my listeners your contact, where they can reach you, and tell us a little bit more about products and services that you offer, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So you could find me, my website is wearemorphous.com. So we named our company Morphous because it's metamorphosis. So morph, M-O-R-P-H, us as a community. So we really are a community-based company. And so you can go to my website, which is wearemorphous.com. And on social media, I live on TikTok at Andrea Donsky, but we're also at wearemorphous on Instagram as well and on TikTok and pretty much anywhere that you're on social media. And all of our supplements, so if you're interested in learning more about our Morphous supplements, you can go to my website. I have all the information there. And you can also reach out to me through my website. If you sign up to our newsletter, you'll get a newsletter from me and you could just respond. My team and I, we are very passionate about helping women, and our customer service team loves to help answer any questions. And I actually answer questions too. And you can also, on the back of our bottle, we have our phone number. You can call the number. Like, we're very accessible. And that's important to us because we were there. All of us are in perimenopause or menopause in our company. So we understand how you're feeling.
Lots of empathy there then.
Lots of compassion and lots of empathy. Yes.
Well, Andrea, thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you for pouring your passion into something that's helping so many people. I really appreciate that. And thank you for the time that you've taken to be on the show today. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
I love it. And thank you, Dr. Yami. My name is Andrea Donsky, and I am human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar-S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.